This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. For baseball players who didn't make tonight's All-Star game, this is a short break from a very long season. In fact, at 162 games, this is the sports world's longest season. Add in the work a player does in the offseason and the preseason, and things get even more intense. Washington Post sports writer and author Barry Sferluga writes about Major League Baseball's endless season from several different viewpoints, players, their wives, and team management, in his new book, The Grind. And Barry, thanks for joining us this afternoon.
Appreciate you having me, Mark.
Yeah, Barry, baseball is it's a game of numbers and stats. You have batting averages, you have runs batted in, on-base percentage. It's quite an extensive list. Why, in your book, did you decide to focus on that one number, 162, the number of games in a season?
I think because that's the most human number. It's the number that gets you away from the back of that baseball card. And the failures that are represented there, if somebody had an off year, or the successes when someone wins a home run title or a batting title, and really gets into what their lives are like, what are the contours of a major league season, and how that impacts not just the guys who are going out there and performing every night and for a 3-hour window on a nightly basis, but how the schedule that they have and the way they go about preparations affect everybody that they come into contact with, from their families to the people with the organization who helped put them in that position, from the general manager who is constructing the roster and putting together the product. There's no part of a baseball organization that isn't affected by and had the season, the schedule, the everydayness of it wear on them. It's much different than any other American sport, say the NFL, where you've got this crescendo over the course of the week building to a Sunday performance that's only 16 times a year. It is you succeed or fail on a Wednesday, it doesn't really matter. You've got to come back in 24 hours and prepare the same way and approach things the same way and go at it right again. It's a fascinating existence, really.
I think you have a good description of it in the book. You refer to it as a drum rhythm, right?
That's exactly right. I mean, you know, think about it. If we want to compare it to the NFL, and we know that the NFL has kind of a brutality to it, of physical violence that is very, very taxing, and we know now a little bit about maybe the long-term implications of that. That's not a baseball player's existence. But if an NFL linebacker has a lousy practice on a Wednesday and then has another lousy practice on a Thursday, one, we don't know about that. We don't know whether that affects his performance on Sunday when we do see him in that 3-hour window where that's where his demands are. That's where he has to perform. If a baseball player on a Wednesday night goes 0-for-4 with 3 strikeouts and makes an error and leaves the tying run stranded on third in the bottom of the ninth, he's got to compartmentalize that, move that aside, and do that, come back the very next day, and again, publicly go through what could be struggles, publicly make adjustments, publicly try to put that behind him, because again, there's going to be 40,000 people looking at him saying, well, is this the beginning of a slump? Is he in a downward spiral, or can he handle it and turn it around? There's nowhere to escape the schedule. It is relentless, and if you're struggling, it can be suffocating because you don't have that time to breathe. You don't have that time to step away. You don't have that time to kind of step back and say, okay, what am I doing here? It has to be the very next day.
A lot of people have this romanticized notion of what it's like to be a baseball player and how the players have it made with all of the money they make, but that's not the complete picture, is it?
It's not complete, and I think one reason we don't hear these stories a lot is because players are hyper aware of how blessed they are and how good their lives can be, because it's a $9 billion industry and most of the people that you're going to see on that field in Cincinnati for the All-Star game are receiving millions and millions of dollars, have very, very lucrative contracts, and their lives in some ways are really set up, not only for them, but maybe for their kids or their kids' kids. However, that doesn't mean money doesn't buy away problems or solve everything. So, I think if the players that are trying to maintain a normal family life and maybe be brought up in the same way that they were brought up, they don't have, you know, nannies all over the place or help at every turn or they're not just buying away their problems. They're trying to raise their families in a very normal existence, even though their schedule is not, you know, that of an accountant or a lawyer, in which they're in the same place for 12 months a year and they have, you know, they know they're going to live someplace for 25 years. There's adjustments they have to make. I'm a little bit reticent to label them as hardships, and I think the players are reticent to put it that way too, but there's a reality to their existence that the fan who flips on the TV at 7 o'clock at night doesn't really know what it took to get that guy to shortstop to play that night with everybody that he's come into contact with.
How does today's pro baseball schedule compare to, say, 1876 when the National League came into existence?
Yeah, it was such a much different thing. I mean, they're forming this sport and there's, times were different. It would be train travel between cities then, you know, Chicago to Louisville to St. Louis to Boston. They needed to build in, time in the schedule because you couldn't just take a cross-country flight. You had to chug your way there. In those days, the schedule was built where, you frequently would have two games off between days or between games, and you might have a game one day, an off day, play two games in a row, and then have two off days. It was just far different. Now, right now, we're in the period, you know, with the All-Star break, where these are the only time any major league team will have back-to-back scheduled off days. What do we think of as a normal weekend? We think, well, Saturday and Sunday. Or if you have a different job, maybe you have back-to-back off days on Sunday and Monday. That's not the reality for Major League Baseball player. This is the only time of the year when they can breathe for 48 to 72 consecutive hours, and then most of the teams will be gathering quickly afterwards, having a workout, and they're right back into the second half of the schedule.
And I think that in the modern schedule, the fact that you're on the road for 81 games, which is half the season, that's a big grind in itself right there.
Yeah, and, you know, one of the chapters in the book, which is called The Glue, really looks into two guys who help make that happen with every team. This happens to be with the Washington Nationals, but every team has a clubhouse manager and a traveling secretary or a vice president of team travel and clubhouse operations. And that guy with the Nationals is a guy named Rob McDonald, who described to me as, you know, what do you tell people? What's your job? How do you explain what you do? And he said, well, think of me as the manager for a rock band. My job is to make sure that rock band has everything it needs and is everything runs smoothly so that they can put on the best show that night in that city that they're in. These guys are paid to strip away problems, to take care of problems. It can be everything from, buttoning on or sewing a button onto a uniform to getting an extra hotel room for a family that might be coming to visit the player in New York. All sorts of logistical hurdles, in a way, kind of babysitters for millionaires. But the operation would not go on without them because you play 81 games, half the season away from home. That's another strange part of the existence that takes a toll.
And then you have to mention the fact that the players do a lot in the off season. I mean, they have to stay in shape, they have to rehab if they've been injured. Then there's the preseason itself, and that just adds to the whole stress of it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, spring training was called spring training back in the day because players came from their off-season jobs and they needed to get their bodies in shape and train for a couple months before they were ready to play 1st of April. Now players are expected to ride in shape, and there's ramifications if they don't arrive in shape. And the ramifications could be, in a lot of cases, losing your job to somebody who is better prepared. So they've got to balance making sure they take time in the off season, whether it starts in October or November, if you went deep into the playoffs, resting their bodies, allowing themselves to recuperate. It's funny, you talk to players about, well, what's it like 2 weeks after the season? And they're like, oh my God, my body's just kind of numb. I feel like I can't really move, so they've got to recuperate, but then they've also got to build for the next season, because if they don't, they're going to find themselves in August without the endurance that's necessary, without a way to fight through what's a very, very difficult part of the schedule where you've got 100 games behind you, but you know you've got 60 more to go. And if you're lucky, the playoffs beyond that. There is a physical demand to it that is 365 days a year that I think most people don't really understand.
I'm talking with Barry Svrluga. His new book is The Grind, Inside Baseball's Endless Season. Barry, is there a point where it dawns on a lot of these players that baseball years are like dog years? A player who's in his 20s, his late 20s, his early 30s is old by baseball standards?
You know, baseball is a little bit different than, say, the NFL, where, you know, maybe your prime, if you're a receiver or something, a really athletic position, might be in your 23, 24, 25 years. Baseball players, because there's so much to learn about how the game is played and what situations bring and how you're going to be pitched in a certain at bat and how to deal with different pitchers, or if your pitcher deal with different hitters, they really hit their prime at about age 27 and run it through maybe age 30, 32. So part of the grind of a career is enduring the hardships at a minor league level. And when you're not flying on charter flights and you're not staying in the best hotels and your wife is following you on a trip from Lynchburg, Virginia to Myrtle Beach, South Carolina by trailing behind the team bus in your own car that at that point isn't, you know, a Bentley, it's a Honda Civic. That's the story of a lot of these guys, the grind that they endure to get to the major league level and then get to the prime where they know how to attack a pitcher. They know how to approach every day. They know how to endure that time when they're inevitably going to go 0-15 in the middle of the year. How do they bounce back from that? It's hard to be both immersed in it every day, but then detach yourself and see what's the big picture here. How am I handling it? That's a very, very difficult struggle for these guys.
And you brought up this point very well several times. This is tough on the family. It's tough on the wives too, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think people, you know, players are really reticent to talk about that because they know, you know, they're blessed and their families are going to be blessed because they're in a very lucrative job for most of them if they're established major leaguers. But if you're trying to bring up your family in a normal environment, Chelsea Desmond, who's the wife of Ian Desmond, the national shortstop, was, you know, nice enough to allow me some insight into this, insight that I think a lot of people don't understand. You know, you're going to be in a different city that's not your home city for 6 months of the year if you're trying to spend that time with your husband and with the father of your kids. Chelsea had, at the time of reporting the book last year, she had two small boys with another on the way. She did not have, you know, a nanny or help that she employed. She's trying to keep a normal family environment. And she's taking those kids and shifting their sleep schedule over the course of the year so that in the off season, they're, you know, maybe getting up early in the morning, 7 or 8, and going to bed at 8 or 9, just like normal toddlers would do. Shifting that for the season so that they're up when Ian, their dad, is finished playing, and they can greet him at the ballpark, watch the game when he's on the road. They go to bed at 11 or 11:30, just like their dad does, but then they sleep in until 10 or 11 in the next morning. Chelsea's point is, if I didn't do that, when would they see him? When would he be their dad? We need this kind of schedule to have as normal a family environment as we can. That's very, very important to them, and those are the kind of adjustments that they make.
Now, Ryan Zimmerman is the veteran player that you write about, and he's what? He's more than 1,200 games into his career with the Washington Nationals?
Yeah.
How
30 years old now.
How has he managed to cope with this year after year after year?
Well, and that's, you know, it's different. These guys, the guys who are established, and Zimmerman is established, you know, he's the Joey Votto of Washington, a guy who's expected to perform and be in there every day. As you get deeper into your career, you make adjustments. You realize you're not 22 and your body doesn't bounce back the same way. And this is a guy that's dealt with injuries and dealt with poor performance on a very public stage where his shoulder kind of collapsed and he could no longer play third base. He couldn't physically make the throw across the diamond. And he was standing there in New York with 50,000 people in the stands, knowing for the first time in his career, I don't want the ball hit to me because I don't know if I can handle it. That takes a tremendous toll as well. So you've got to be able, over the course of your career, as you step even further back, to make adjustments to how do you treat your body? What do you do with your body? How do you prepare your body in the off season? What sort of rest do you need before you get back at it and start attacking and building to the next season? And then mentally, how do you allow yourself to breathe? How do you allow yourself to restore confidence in something that for a lot of these guys has come really, really naturally as they've come through high school and college and the minors? When you do inevitably hit failure, how do you reset? How do you restore yourself? How do you get back to who you used to be? That's a difference maker. I mean, that's people who can do that will succeed, and people who can't will fail, and they'll lose their job and they'll be out of the game.
I've heard some people argue the season should be shortened to give the games more meaning. Do you agree with that?
Well, I mean, it's interesting. The new commissioner, Rob Manfred, has definitely brought that up, dialing it back to 154 games from 162. It appears to be on the table. That's how it used to be played back in the 40s and 50s before it was expanded. You know, there's a business side of it. There's a how are owners going to give up the four home dates that shrinking the schedule by eight games would mean? That's revenue lost. Where would that be replaced? But it is an acknowledgement that the fact that we're even discussing shrinking a season is an acknowledgement that the wear and tear on these guys is very, very real. It can, in some sort of drip, drip, drip way, affect the quality of play that we see. It might not seem like much to the fan to add, you know, what amounts to one more off day a month. But in talking to these guys, when you're in a clubhouse and you're kind of in the middle of a stretch, they're all aware of when the next off day is and how much of a breather that's going to be, and just a chance to inhale and exhale and not feel that pressure. It's a very, very real thing, and it would be interesting to see how shortening the season would impact the quality of play and the quality of these guys' lives.
But you think the toughness and the whole grind thing is one of the things that makes baseball so endearing? It's a lot like life. It has its ups and downs. It goes from routine one moment to thrilling the next. Is that what makes baseball so special?
Yeah, I think that's a real, real part of it. I mean, think about how you consume a baseball season. You're used to, you know, getting to the couch at 7 o'clock, or, you know, if you're late, that's fine. If you flip on the game at 7:45 every night, you've got something that you're really interested in that's going to be different from night to night, that's going to present new challenges. You know the characters, you know what they're going through, you know what they did last night and how that might relate to what they're doing that night. And then on those nights when, you know, maybe the one night out of 14 where they're not playing, it's like, well, you know, what do I do now? It's hard for me to imagine a season with more off days, because, you know, that everydayness is what defines it. And watching guys, I mean, I hope from reading the book, people will, the next time after they finish it, they sit down and watch a baseball game. They have a new appreciation for what it took to get that starting shortstop out there, what he might be dealing with in his personal life. If he's 0-for-10 and he struck out six times in his last 10 at bats, how that might influence how he prepares. How is he adjusting? Is he just trying to keep things the same? They might have a better understanding of what went into everything to get a person in position to play a major league game that we only see for the 3 hours that it's on TV.
Barry, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon.
Mark, I appreciate you having me.
Author and Washington Post sports writer Barry Svrluga, his new book is The Grind, Inside Baseball's Endless Season. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.